Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. With me are my... I just want to come up with a different word, but I almost said super Carolyn, you know, super fragilistic, whatever. I can't even say that now. God, I haven't seen that movie in years, man. Have you guys seen Mary Poppins at any point in the past 10 years?
I saw that. I recently watched the sequel. Surprisingly okay.
Didn't actually know there was a sequel.
It's pretty modern. That one's pretty modern. That's pretty recent.
Okay,
I say pretty recent, and it was probably like 4 years ago or something.
That's pretty recent.
Yeah, pretty recent.
Yeah, it's close enough.
2018, by the way.
2018. Yeah, so about 4 years ago. Actually, I guess at this point.
You know, with Dick Van Dyke being still in the movie, because, you know, that was a thing that happened.
Well, you know, why get rid of him? He was fine. I mean, his Cockney accent was like a war crime, but...
And then Lin-Manuel Miranda played his son, I think.
Yeah, that had happened.
Just why not?
Yeah. I mean, I can think of one reason, because, you know, if I imagine Dick Van Dyke, you know, seriously, I'd have to see the guy's mom before I would accept that Lin-Manuel Miranda was his kid. But nevertheless, yeah, things happen.
Yeah, Emily Blunt is Mary Poppins. Yep.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah, I could see that. At least, you know. Although nobody is going to be Julie Andrews. You guys know what happened to Julie Andrews, right?
No? Question mark?
Oh, okay.
I don't know where we're going with this.
I don't either.
It's not evil, but it is a little depressing. Okay. Real quickly, the reason Julie Andrews' career seemed to stop for a while there, and then when she came back, she was doing a lot of different stuff, was because she went in for an operation to remove a relatively benign polyp from the inside of her throat. She was a little worried about it, but the doctor told her this is a totally normal operation. People get it all the time. It's fine. So she went in, got the operation, and when she came out, she couldn't sing anymore. She can't, her register was destroyed. She can't go in high or low like she used to. And that to me is like a tragedy. That's like if you went and broke the hands of a sculptor, you know, like if you literally went to Leonardo da Vinci and just crushed his hands in a wine press, that's what it's like to be the person who destroyed Julie Andrews' voice. And I'm not hating on the doctor. He didn't lie to her. It's just this one time the consequence was something practically unforeseeable. And it's just, oof. I found out about this because she did the voice of the racist kaiju in Aquaman. If you guys didn't see that movie. Yeah, there's a racist kaiju in that movie, and Julie Andrews is its voice.
I got nothing.
That conversation, that line of thinking was a roller coaster.
Yeah. But regardless... None of this has anything to do with
it doesn't at all.
About. But let's get into the things we are usually going to talk about. Right now, I'm going to throw you up. We usually do news right here, so we're going to do some news. It's a fairly quiet week. I mean, there's some stuff, but let's be honest. It was the Christmas holiday in most of the world. I mean, even if you're not Christian, the holiday is pretty unescapable. And, you know, as a result, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is basically just stuff that's going to be ending by next week. For example... Diablo 4's Midwinter Blight, which, by the way, is fun, but also it's very much go to a place and hope you can get mobs to kill fast enough with other people killing them too at the same time. Oh, Lord, now they're spawning in like waves, and now you have to kill even faster. It's one of those. It is a Diablo 4 thing, but it's fun. The actual... I keep wanting to call him Krampus. He's not Krampus. He's like
the red cloaked horror.
The red cloaked horror is a fun fight. Like it's actually got a lot of stuff going on. It's not super super hard, but it's engaging. I recommend it. But it is ending, I think, on the 2nd of January. I say I think, even though the date's written down right here, because unfortunately I'm having a really bad eye day, so I have to get really close to the screen and squint. I'm pretty sure it's the two. Yeah. So January 2nd, 2024. By the way, 2024 in like a week and a half. Actually, less than a week and a half. It's the 26th.
Yeah. Now we're getting there.
Next week, it will be January 1st.
Pardon me while I go turn to dust now.
Yes. Also ending, WoW's Winter Veil, which is also ending on the same day.
Yeah.
Liz has a nice helpful reminder here. Like you should, you know, if you want to get that reindeer dragon skin for your dragon flying mount, now is the time. Cause you've got like we said, a week to do it.
This is the most amazing dragon riding skin that Blizzard has produced thus far.
Dude, it's got a Santa hat and reindeer horns. Doesn't it have the nose?
it, yes, it has a red nose and it has reindeer horns, and it's like you're riding in kind of a little saddle thing that looks like a sleigh that has presents stacked up on it. It is ridiculous and it is glorious.
So, you know, if you are a collector of that kind of thing, and we know you probably are if you're listening to the show, you've got a week. Get in there and get it done.
The only problem is it's a random drop. It's a random drop from the present you get off of the Grinch. Grinch?
Oh, Grinch. The Grinch. Oh, yeah.
Grinch. So it's like...
You basically have to kill that guy, yeah. And you can only get it once a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. So it's one of those, this isn't another heartbreaker mount situation, but this is no guarantee. You can't just go up and click a button and get it.
You might get it on your first kill, or you might be running like every alt you have through it over and over and over again, trying to get it. So it's, we've all been there. We've all done the Headless Horseman. It's something we've experienced.
Yeah. But,
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, ending around the same time, I think at this one, that looks like a 3. Yeah, it's on January 3rd, Diablo 2's 22 Nights of Terror will be ending. The premise is that every day there was a new terror thing. Wasn't it basically based around the zones, the terror zones in Diablo 2?
Yeah. And the constantly rotating new terrifying effects each day. So, I mean, it's literally 22 Nights of Terror, but we're almost through the 22 Nights of Terror. So less terror to come, maybe. Yeah.
Until such time as we have run through all the terror. There's still the usual amount of terror. It's Diablo 2. Still lots of demons and horrible stuff happening, just not the added stuff that they put in just for Christmas. And let's not think too hard about the fact that they put in more terror for Christmas. Because, you know, any of us who have large families and used to go see them or still do know that Christmas does have a little edge of terror to it. One of the most famous Christmas stories is a ghost story. You know, A Christmas Carol is all about ghosts.
That's true.
It's about
ghosts haunting a landlord.
Yep. Well,
he was a landlord.
Not just a landlord. He's also a lender. I think it's more that he's a banker type thing. But whatever. We can argue about what aspect of capitalism is bad later. They're all bad. Yes. Also ending, but this one's on the 9th. Yeah, that's definitely a 9. That's it. Much easier to tell. Overwatch Winter Wonderland is ending on the 9th of January 2024, which is, it gets an extra week, I guess, partially because it started a week late.
Yeah, it started a little later than the other ones. I mean, none of these quite, most of them don't quite perfectly line up. I mean, Blizzard, it's a weird assortment of dates, but I mean, everything's wrapping up pretty soon. So if you have like goals in this season's winter holiday events, you got to finish them.
Yep, basically Christmas is over. New Year's is almost here. Time to use whatever vacation time you might have gotten for the holiday and bear down. I wanted to talk about this because Liz mentioned it in a separate email because I had completely forgotten to mention it. But January is going to be, we're going to get the January trading post stuff when we hit January, which is again in a week. We already know a lot of it. We've already seen it. It's been data mined. But the more important thing, in my opinion, is that if you've been doing the trading post since its inauguration, I think that this is when the year, again, this is based on this is when the year reward it becomes available. Mm-hmm. So if you've been doing every month, I think it started 12
months of it.
Didn't it start in April or did it start? Did it start in January?
If it started in April, we wouldn't be up to 12 months. And I know we're at the 12 month reward next month. Okay, so it must have started in January.
All right. I'll accept that. I can't remember. Like, this entire past 10 years has just been, a speeding blur as my face goes windshield after windshield. But regardless, that's pretty cool. Do we know what the reward is, right? That's already been established.
Okay. I thought you'd been talking about it with the warden armor.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, the warden armor. That's it. That is the reward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going back and forth. Back and forth like we're asking a question of each other, and I think it's just
it's established. It's the warden armor for it's not just for night elves, but it is the warden armor. You guys know the warden armor, the Maiev outfit. It's kind of like that. I think it's a little different. It looks to me this a little changed around just to not be exactly like Maiev's.
Ensemble, yeah. Burden of unrelenting justice.
Yep.
That just sounds cool, right?
It sounds like, it should really be something Taryn Gregory just, gets to wear all the time. Because his nickname is Justice, and that's because I guess his parents called him Justice, which I really always thought was great. Taryn, miss you, man. That's the reward.
One little thing, the January trading post, the bonus reward for January is like a wristwatch. Have either of y'all looked at this?
No.
It's such a strange thing. I mean, I like that it's unique and different, but it's like literally a wristwatch. And
it's a wristwatch that looks like the Heart of Azeroth.
Yeah, that's true. Now that you say that, that's true.
It's the golden mobile timepiece. I'm looking it up right now.
Do you guys know how I knew this? There's a Reddit meme about it. I'll send you guys the Reddit meme so you get to look at this whilst Joe is doing what he's doing.
Mostly, I feel like this is a transmog that you're not going to be able to appreciate a lot. Like, you're going to have to turn off a lot of armor to even be able to see that.
What does it fill a particular slot? Is it like wrist stuff?
It's got to be the wrist slot. It has to be.
Yeah, I would certainly assume
it's a wrist. Yes, it's a wrist item. But most gloves are going to cover that up. There are some chest pieces that are going to cover that up. A lot of chest pieces that have long sleeves, and if the sleeves have any kind of shape to them, they will cover your bracers. So yeah, it just seems you're going to have to ditch a lot of stuff. If you even want to see that, it's going to be a really subtle look. I mean, it's interesting to get these looks that are unique, but it's also, this is so subtle that I don't think I appreciate it as much as some rewards.
The post on the official site's actually really funny because the picture is this night elf staring at her wrist with the mm-hmm. wristwatch on it. And I'm sitting there going, my character's gloves are enormous. And I can't take the gloves off because none of my looks work without the gloves. Like, there's relatively few plate sets that work without the gloves. You just look weird. You look at your arms, look like these weird fleshy tubes just hanging out without metal all over them.
That's okay, because you can get a dual copper scarab next month, too.
But I do think the time-launched Salamancher is really cute.
Salamanther?
Is that a T? Okay, it looks like a CH, but it's a TH. Salamanther. That thing is really cute. The armored golden pterodax is not really cute, but it's cool. It's a cool mount. There's also the jeweled copper scarab, which looks to be a flying mount and also looks really cool.
Definitely cool.
Yeah. The armored, there's the ancestral sky chasers totem and the ancestral stone hoof totem. These are both Tauren totem type back pieces. They're for the cloak / back plates. You guys know them. They're big totems that you wear on your back. One is kind of bluish and one is kind of red. There's the Blade Master's Suntouched Stones, which is just, remember Thrall's giant beads?
I got the, yeah, I'm wearing the blue ones right now in game.
Yeah. These ones are gold. But still basically that.
That seems to be the theme of a lot of the transmogs.
Yeah. Mm. The Solemn Watchman's garb, which is kind of Cult Heresy. I think it's supposed to be like a version of the Cult Heresy armor. And then there's a bunch of cloaks because, you know, cloak. The Waste Wanderer Trackers kit ensemble, which I don't know what this is from. It's an interesting look. It looks familiar, but I don't recognize it well enough to say, oh, it's from there. I don't really care for the orange sleeve shirt. I'll be up front on that one. That is not doing much for me. Is there anything here you guys really like?
There's like more of those opera gloves. The scarab is good.
Oh, I love the opera gloves.
I know
them in every color.
Liz is literally asking for the opera gloves to continue, and her cries have been heard.
Opera gloves in every color. You can make such interesting looks with these opera gloves. You know, because they cover your arms, like, from shoulder down, all the way down to your finger. They're, like, they're form-fitting. So you can do some weird combinations where you're just adding this color to your arms. And they're all a flat color with a bit of a gloss, a shiny sheen to them. But I think you can make some really neat looks. Yes, opera gloves in every color. Keep it going, Blizzard.
You heard it here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do think that's an interesting look, quite frankly. These ones are kind of gold colored, which, you know, seems to be the theme for January.
One thing, I just pulled up the page on the World of Warcraft website. And one thing, the orange sleeve shirt, it's still listed as item type legs. And I stare at it and I wonder, okay, where are my legs supposed to go? This literally appears to be a shirt. It's like a white shirt with orange sleeves. It's an orange sleeve shirt, which is like, supposed like to go in your legs, but it's like, where do the legs go? I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess I'll figure out in January.
I will say too, looking at this stuff, the Time Marshal's carbine, if you're a hunter and you like guns, that's a nice gun model. I don't recognize it, but it looks like it might be a Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah, model. That looks like it's like the Dazar'alhor stuff. I think. I'm not entirely sure.
A nice copper color. I dig unique colors on items.
The Soulburner's Bardiche is similar in design to other weapons that dropped in Hellfire Ramparts. I can't remember what it was. My God, I ran that raid so many times. But regardless,
Citadel?
Thank you. Yes, the word Citadel is the one I was looking for. But yeah, that's it looks like the axe that drops there. There's also a really nice axe, a two-handed axe that dropped that you can get from this. It's called the Dwarven Crown Splitter. And it's a really dwarven looking item. It's very much I think it actually looks a little earthen-y. So it's quite possible it's a look that we might see again during the War Within when we go to, you know, quest in the earthen areas. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. I keep saying I'm sorry, but regardless, I also like the Trader's Carrot Sarong, which has got an interesting.
I have been collecting all of those.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not much else to add to it, but like, I just like the way that they look. So they're my opera gloves.
Yes. Hey, I have 100 Trader's Tender left. So I was wondering if I need to pick one up or if I should save it for next month. I haven't decided yet.
I mean, I would certainly see the interesting use for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for a blue one. Cause I'm sort of in this like blue motif and I don't have a blue one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard, give me a blue one.
Amadi Amada. I'm gonna make that reference. You can't stop me. But yeah, okay, that's a fair overlook of the various January stuff. I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff there. I still that wristwatch, man, the picture of the person with the golden mobile timepiece on. This timepiece fits under flared sleeves and bulky gloves. You might find it necessary to adjust your attire to see the gleaming time tracker. So yeah. Liz's point about how you have to change your transmog pretty much to see it is pretty apt.
Even they admit it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would not be surprising to find that it does that. Because, I mean, think about all the other stuff that goes on a wrist that does that. Yeah. Even have that corsage, didn't they?
Yeah, I was going to say that the picture reminds me of like the corsage-like images that they did for promoing that, too.
In that it looks like this is a blood elf. It's not a blood elf, isn't it? It's a
night elf. A night elf.
Yeah. I did, like, admiring their manicure.
Well, I mean, it is. Those are some pointy nails. So, you know, kudos to her.
Yeah. So you would want to admire it. I'm just saying.
But regardless, yeah, it is. It is interesting that they have made the special thing a watch, especially a wristwatch. Maybe that's the sign of things to come, that we're going to get more unique items. I think that's actually really cool. I do not mind it at all. I forget what game did this, but there's a game that had like a... It's Cyberpunk. You guys know when you're doing Phantom Liberty, well, at least Joe knows, you're doing Phantom Liberty and you get to talk to Lizzie Wizzy at the party. You can get her to give you the headpiece she's wearing. She'll just give it to you. And if she does, you can wear it in your transmogs. And if you wear it in your transmogs, every time you're on a motorcycle, you are going to look like you are about to break out into like a Queen song. It's just this huge, sweeping, crystalline hat. It's just like, wow, that's nuts. So yeah, it kind of reminds me of that, in that we could start getting to see some really weird stuff for slots. I would just like it if, you know, shoulder armor needs stuff that isn't shoulder armor to go there. Like, I've always felt that. That needs to be other stuff you can put on your shoulders. Like a cat. Like, you should be able to have a cat that just lives on your shoulder. Because if you ever have a cat, you know the cats live on your shoulder.
Mine routinely, while I'm recording this podcast, will sit behind me on the head of my chair and will just very gently claw me when she is unhappy with what I'm saying.
You know, one thing, I was looking in the Diablo 4 store this afternoon, looking at our different options. You know, I think we all went a little insane when you got to get the wolf pup. The wolf pup filled your, like, cloak slot or back slot.
Yeah, it's on your back.
And you're just carrying around an adorable wolf puppy all the time. Just, yeah. Except, if you go to the store, you can buy... Druids have, like, an owl, and it's, like... a perfectly round, fat owl that you can wear in your back slot. And I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I mean, I'm running around with a murloc strapped to my hunter's back right now.
And I think it's sorcerers have a cat in some sort of arcane looking thing that they carry around on their back. And I'm like, this is amazing. I want more of this. Except I don't want it in the store where I have to pay real money for it. But I love the aesthetic. I love the giant, perfectly round owl. I'm totally for it. And, you know, WoW doesn't have many animals that you can wear around, like, backpacks. I mean...
It's got a sloth.
Joe just mentioned... Yeah, there is a sloth. Joe mentioned the murloc. But there aren't, you know, I can't get a fat owl that I can wear on my back. Which, if I could, I would be doing that right now.
Lizard, except here we are. You've got 20 or so days in January. I think, actually, at this point, it's a little bit into February. But... You could just call it the Superb Owl, and boom, you're done. It will like just print money. You just be printing money.
You're not wrong. Not wrong at all.
I mean, you'll get the sincere, oh, I want an owl money, and you'll get the ironic, oh, I can make fun of football money. Come on. You know that you want that money. And we want owls. I personally...
We want adorable animals that we can carry around with us. I mean, yes, we have actual battle pets that we can summon and they follow us around, but they aren't adorable sleeping animals that we're carrying on our backs. That's something totally different. It's an underserved market. Just saying.
I think it would be great if they did make a shoulder piece that literally just was, put your battle pets on your shoulders.
Yes!
You know? Put your pets on your shoulders.
I'm for it, though I could also see how that could be like a nightmarish.
It's going to be really weird. They'd have to make it so you couldn't put like the squire
humanoids.
Yeah,
I have mini Tyrael.
Yeah, don't put him on your.
That would be weird. That would, I mean, that animation with his wings would just be, that'd be unusual.
Or like the original Diablo pet, you don't want that on your shoulder. Although certainly the panda, absolutely the panda. But not, and the Zergling, I think you can make a case for the Zerg. I think if nothing else, that webcomic that used to just be the woman drawing various pictures of Zergs as if they were cats, that right there makes me want a Zergling pet on my shoulder. That should be fine. And I'll dual wield the Zergling staff. It'll all work out. But yes, I think we've discussed this. You know, well, I won't say enough, but we've discussed it to the point where we can at least say we have discussed it.
I would like to ask you a question, you specifically, Matt, which in Diablo 4, I feel like I hit a point where I don't have more transmog to collect, and this has actively made me less invested in playing Diablo 4.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling this? Am I alone in this?
I'm annoyed that there are looks that I can't figure out where they are.
That is true. Like,
why are there these spots on my little thing where there's an X and I don't know where that X is? Like, is there more stuff? Like, every so often I get a piece and suddenly, like, oh, I guess I didn't know that. Or example, I'm going to go back into the inn again for this. Since you asked the question and because I happen to be in Diablo 4.
Yeah.
There's a new set that just showed up. The Season of the Malignant one is obviously from the season, but there's one that's not a seasonal one. It's just there. And I never saw it before. I have to find it now, unfortunately. There it is. The Loch Wraith Maor. It's supposedly from the shop, but I didn't spend any money in the shop. Like, I don't know where this set came from. It's similar to the Highland set.
Is that the holiday set?
No, don't know. I don't know. It looks like the Highland set, but it's not quite the same. It's a little darker, a little bit more sinister. But it's the, like I said, the Loch Wraith Maor set. The Glenborn Heart, which is a slightly different breastplate. It just, I found it. It's just here. The Goat Death Mitts. all of this is from the shop. And I don't know where it's from. I've never seen it before.
One of the most compelling things in Diablo 4, and I think Diablo 4 is a great game, one of the most compelling things was how awesome your character looks and how many interesting transmogs there were, armor dyes. I just thought it was so much fun to collect new looks and play with different looks and different combinations. But then you hit this wall where there are no more looks to collect unless you go to the shop and start dumping a lot of money. And that's actually kind of disappointing because the variety of appearances you could get early on was just really exciting. And it was fun to collect new ones. And it's like they haven't added any new looks.
Yeah, I think
except the store. Yeah.
It feels like when they're doing their holiday events and stuff, they really do need to put more looks in for those holiday events. Like, I don't think there's anything that looks especially different for Midwinter Blight, and I feel like that's an oversight.
I mean, like, Midwinter Blight has one armor set per class, and then each battle pass has two armor sets, one for free and one on the paid battle pass. But that's just not a whole lot of looks they're adding. So, yeah, a little disappointed.
And it's also, like, if you're not doing the Battle Pass, and especially not paying for the Battle Pass, you're not going to get the paid one.
Yeah. You
know? And it's just, I don't know. I do feel what you're saying. It is not the primary reason I slowed down for a while there, but it is definitely a reason, something I think about.
It's not the primary reason. I haven't been playing as much either, but it's like, it's kind of a bummer. I wish I had more cool things to wear.
I just generally think that one of the great things about WoW transmog is the sheer volume of stuff that a game that old has. And for that matter, one of the problems with them not having tier sets in Diablo 4 is that I honestly used my tier set more for transmog than I ever did wear them. There are only a couple of tier sets I ever wanted to wear, but whatever was whatever was the hotness that season, like, they buffed this ability, so now the Whirlwind set is the best set. So I'm only ever going to wear the set that actually gave me the most power, but I would transmog to all of them. Like, and I think that that is one of the things that Diablo 4 doesn't have. It doesn't have the unifying presence of tier sets to build up I'm going to wear the Immortal King's raiment and, you know, I'll look really like an Immortal King, I guess. And that is something I miss. I feel like the classes that had the best looks in D3 were the Barbarian, the Crusader, and the Wizard. They had the most... Although, I mean, really, Necromancer, just, it's very hard to mess up the Necromancer thing. Like, you know, does it relate to death in some fashion? Yeah, we're good. Make me look like a giant black raven. Make me look like a desiccated corpse. Make me look like a desiccated corpse with a raven on his head. I don't care. You figure out where you want to work birds and or death into this thing, and I will be there. And then the witch doctor's like, am I wearing clown pants? What are you doing? Why do I look like this? Sorry, I didn't like the witch doctor aesthetic in Diablo 3. I hope if they ever do introduce a witch class that they take a nice long hard look at the aesthetic. I think in Diablo 4, druids might have the best aesthetic. Joe, you played a druid. What do you think?
Mostly, there are some things that I definitely would like to see more of, like, different helmets and things like that. I think that's where it really, like, lacks. Everything else, however, top notch.
Yeah. Druids and Necros look really good in Diablo 4. I even think Sorcerers and Rogues have certain looks that are really good. Barbs, honestly, it's very hard for a Barbarian not to look okay. Because, again, it's just, do I look like I smash things? Yes. We're done here. But, yeah, I definitely would like there to be more stuff. In general, wherever there's a transmog system, I want there to be more stuff. But I think Diablo 4 does have a feeling of, I can't be done already, can I? Like, am I really seriously done already? And yeah, that is a problem. So, you know, put more stuff on the transmog, please. Thanks.
Oh, transmog.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And definitely put more little round owls and stuff. That's also good. Honestly, one of the things that I find a bit of a bummer is that we can't have the non-combat pet like we did in Diablo 3. I think that Diablo 4 lacks that, and it is a lack. I liked having like a chest run around with me doing weird chest stuff and chomping on everything. Like, that just, it was cool and weird. Why do I have this evil chest? I don't know.
The one thing that I wish that Diablo 4 would have curbed from another game is the Torchlight Companion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I really, really, really loved Torchlight's companion system. The idea that, like, yeah, it followed you around, it participated in combat with you, and then you could just send it back with a bunch of loot to go sell it off for you while you continue on your adventure, and then come back. You can send it for a shopping list. Like, you can tell it, by the way, next time you go to town, here's what you need to restock every single time you go to town. Like, I really liked that idea, and I'm really surprised that, you know, Diablo as a series hasn't sort of taken that as a note.
They've definitely backpedaled away from the companion system that they even established for D3, mm-hmm. which is not surprising to me. I figured they would. But one of the things I'd love is if you could have a pet with you that would go and do the kind of useful stuff, at least. Having a pet fight with you, that's fine if you want it, but I always...
You can turn it off in Torchlight, right? Like, you can turn off the...
Yeah, and it's fine. I remember having like Cormac with me all the time and hating it because he would just constantly get involved in combat and then die. And then I found like the piece of armor that made it so he couldn't die. Like, so I would always put that on him, like, here, wear this and just don't die so much. But if I could have Cormac and he'd do the useful stuff and not get involved in the fighting, I would be perfectly thrilled. Like, I don't play this game so you can fight, Cormac. I play this game so I can fight. I am here to smash things. I guess you're the comic relief. I'm not sure why you're here, but you're not here to fight. You're here to get me involved in your life at inopportune moments, which is the same for everyone. And I'll admit, I really liked getting to see the I don't want to call him the rogue, but I don't remember, like, the scoundrel. Getting to see the scoundrel again, Leiden. Getting to see him again in Diablo 4 is one of my favorite bits. I absolutely loved.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved questing with him. I love that he's still basically the same guy, but it's been so long, and he's seen the world go to such utter dumpster fire situations that he is now completely unflappable. Nothing reaches him because what are you going to do to top the last 50 years? You know, nine out of 10 people I knew died, and yeah, the world went to hell. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you want to take over my town, whatever, makes the hand a back and forth gesture. So yeah, I would like there to be more of a system like that. Even if it was just like big animal companions and stuff, or like if each class got a special type of thing, like rogues could have henchmen and necros could have like, you know, the valet who's an undead butler. Like, imagine you had like an undead butler or undead, like, you know, like, I don't want to say manservant, but you know, an undead attaché who waited on you and was like, yes, I'll go to the town and get these ingredients for you, master. You know, the Igor. The druids would obviously have an animal companion. Barbarians, maybe it's like the, you know, the latest ghost of, like the latest person that they beat into the ground is now forced to do stuff for them until they get bored. Like, fine, you can leave. You fetch me things. Oh God. I don't know. Barbarian, we got to work on that one. All right. But that's pretty much the Diablo 4-iness of it. What else is there to talk about? We talked about all this stuff. I guess the Prime Gaming stuff. Let's do the free reward stuff first. Warcraft Rumble, we got free rewards available, and there are various Winter Veil presents that are all available in WoW. What exactly is the Warcraft Rumble thing? Because I know nothing about Warcraft Rumble.
You just log on, you go to the store, and there are some free rewards to claim. It's like kind of the standard stuff for Rumble. You get some XP boosts, you get some gold to spend on new characters and leveling them up. So, I mean, it's not going to be like a game breaking. It's not like a, wow, a new hero, a new mini. It's stuff to make everything a little better, level you up a little bit, level some of your minis up. Worth doing it, certainly worth doing if you're playing it, or even if you might play it in the future, you know, just log on, click the button, you get free stuff.
Okay, and the Winter Veil presents are the same we've always had, right?
Yes. Oh, gosh, I forget which one
like
is.
Like the Smoky Wood Pastures boxes and so forth.
Yes, indeed. I've forgotten what the new one is this year. Joe, help me out. Do you know what it is?
I honestly don't remember. Sorry.
I'm useless. As you can tell, wow. We've paid a lot of attention to Winter Veil this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, I flew around Ironforge in a sleigh. That's all I know. That's what I did this year. That's about as much attention as I paid to Winter Veil.
That is true. That's fair. But it's a standard thing. Go to your capital city. Go to the tree. Open your presents. I believe you have until Winter Veil ends on January 2nd. So just go open your presents. It's free stuff. Yeah, shiny.
Under the tree there type you go. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's also like there's the thing that temporarily turns your mount into a reindeer, like it's like mistletoe, I think. There's stuff like, you know, there's a football. I don't know why there's a football, but there is. It's like a toy that you can get. That much I remember. I think
it's always clockwork
robots. There's a fair amount of like neat little stuff.
It's another thing. It's worth logging on and doing. Just, I mean, you don't want to forget it. Like there was a holiday mount in Diablo 4 that you just go to the shop and claim, and I forgot to do it, and it ended today as we're recording this, and I didn't get it. And it's just because I forgot to log on and go to the shop and click one button, and I could have had this cool mount look, but now I don't.
Yeah.
Now I don't.
And that's the kind of thing that
you have
to
live with that.
Yes. Hmm. That and the snarling faces of those you've wronged, in this case, that mount, you know, haunting you in your dreams, going, you could have had me, Liz.
I'm already a necromancer, so you know I'm used to that.
But also, in addition to those two things, there's the drop rate on the Echo of Duriel here, which is something I had to go look up after Liz mentioned it because I was like, ooh, I'm no way ready for the Echo of Duriel on my season.
It's he's way up there.
But the Echo of Duriel, which is like basically. It's like the second hardest boss. I think the hardest is supposed to be still Abattoir of Zir. Yeah. But go ahead.
I think probably Uber Lilith is the hardest one, and the Abattoir of Zir is just
below
its
that.
Own crazy thing.
Yeah.
I mean it's hard, but Abattoir of Zir is like you can, you know, you play it's like a nightmare dungeon where you can keep leveling it up. So it's kind of an infinite difficulty, so it's hard to like measure it against that.
Regardless, Echo of Duriel is number two. If you think of Uber Lilith as number one, then Echo of Duriel Uber is number two. And they're buffing the unique drop rate.
This is specifically This is specifically like a holiday event. This is like a holiday present to you that they have doubled Duriel's drop rate for Uber Uniques. So if you're up there, if you're playing on that level, go kill Duriel. Maybe you'll get that perfectly rolled unique item, and because doubled the drop rate for them. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. But you do have to be pretty high up there. You have to farm up all the materials. You need to go summon Uber Duriel. It's a lot. It's a lot you have to do to get there, but now you have a much better chance for much better rewards.
I mean, you know, doubling 1% is still like 2%, but it's still better than 1%. But
it's twice the rewards. Yes. Maybe. I mean, maybe.
The percent possibility is doubled. And that's the important. So now, chase the loot pinata. Go.
I mean, that's what Diablo is. It's a loot pinata. Exactly. Loot pinata, because that's the whole thing. But that is only available through January 8th, and then the loot the Uber Unique drop rate will go back to what it was, which was living in our hopes and dreams to get that perfect Uber Unique.
And last thing on the list here before we go into the emails. Is the Swift Windsteed mount that you can get for World of Warcraft from Amazon Prime Gaming. That one's until
January 30th, I think.
Yeah, January till the end of January. Yep, that's what the thing says. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't have a Swift Windsteed already, like they have, it's a similar mount that I know I've got a similar Windsteed mount.
Yeah,
I
don't think it looks like this one. This one did not really excite me because it looks a lot like a bunch of other mounts that I already have. And it's not the most exciting one, but that's just me. That's just me. Maybe you want a wind steed of your own.
Isn't this just the same from the one that was available in the store?
I'm not
during,
sure.
During Miss Pandaria? I don't remember. Like, I'm pretty sure this was.
Also, the Death's Burden mount in Diablo 4.
Still available.
That bundle is available until January 18th. So you've got time to get that as well.
It's a cool skeleton horse. It's a horse. It's a skeleton. Yeah, actually, I don't think it's a skeleton horse. It's a horse wearing armor made out of a skeleton of a horse.
That is correct. It is a horse wearing armor made out of the skeleton of a horse.
So it's wearing basically the armor of somebody it didn't like very much. We hope.
Well, it also has a bunch of like human skulls hung in front of it, so it's a variety of armors, of bones.
I will say up front, if you're a Pokemon fan and you remember Cubone fondly, this will let you ride something that kind of looks like Cubone because the armor on its head is another horse skull over its own skull. So, you know, just go ahead and headcanon that it's their mom, like just like in Cubone's case. By the way, that Cubone, that's a terrifying story. Don't look into the backstories of Pokemon. That way lies madness. You'll go crazy faster
like than a Lovecraft personality. That is sound life advice.
Okay.
To quote one of the shows I like watching quite a bit on YouTube, Outside Extra, they said, you know, go ahead and guess what the name of this particular Pokemon is. And they showed the 2 meter long pink vaguely dolphin-like looking thing. Go ahead. Guess what its name is. How about Gorbis? And, you know, that's its name. And what it does is jam its its 6-inch long proboscis into your body to drink your fluids. That's its Sun and Moon Pokedex entry. They straight up tell you this thing wants to ram its proboscis into things' bodies to drain them of their fluids. The rotting meat of their carcasses will fall to the ocean floor to be devoured by other Pokemon. That's in the Codex. I remind you, this is a game for children.
It stopped being a game for exclusively children a long, long time ago.
Yes, but this is from Sun and Moon, guy. This isn't like, you know, this read is a some of
the the Cubone one is from Generation 1, Matt. Like,
yeah, I know. They're saying it's supposedly a game for children, but it's never shied away from, like, you know, hey, what was the koala one? I can't remember its name, but it doesn't actually ever wake up. The koala pet, the koala Pokemon, never wakes up. It spends Snorlax? Its entire... No. It's a koala. It literally looks just like a koala.
Okay.
But it never wakes up. Or Scizor. Scizor, whose basic whole thing is beating things to death with its metal claws.
I am going to say that maybe we should move along from Pokemon and the terrifying thing that is the Pokedex at this point for now.
We probably should, because if we don't, I will keep going.
That is a pre-show topic.
We have really wandered around this episode. It's we're all over the map here tonight.
We are lost in the weeds. But regardless, I think
also
we're gonna move
Pokedex
on to,
entry.
You know, yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't, that's a saying, man. Come on, don't do this to me. All right, we're gonna move on and try and get some questions answered. If you've got a question for the show, you can go to our Discord, and they have two channels. One of them is the just straight up Q and podcast questions channel for everybody, because we are warm and welcoming and we want you to come and ask us questions. You know, we're really talking to you. It's cool. You should come on by. If you are a patron, however, because, you know, you're already giving us money to help us run the site, and we really appreciate that, including like stuff like hugs and you know, occasional peanut butter cookie recipes we might give you. If you want my peanut butter cookie recipe, I'll give it to you. It's actually really good. We also let you guys get first dibs at asking us questions because, you know, again, you help us continue to do this, and that's something we like. So you can go there as well. It's the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. And again, some of these questions are from there. Some of these questions are from our Q and Patreon Questions channel for non-patrons. And unfortunately, I don't think any of them are from emails this week. We didn't really have any questions in emails, but we did have these questions, so we're going to go ahead and do them now. First one is from Azure Lane. Which do you prefer, the quest via mailbox, the pop-up quest window on login, or the exclamation point bearing NPC that keeps following you around until you accept or decline? What other methods of the quest finds you would you like to see in game? Thanks as always. Well, thank you, Azerlane. Either of you guys?
I
can tell you.
Go ahead.
I can tell you that I hate the quest giver that follows you around.
Yes.
I just think those make me crazy. Go away. Leave me alone. I'm doing something. I'm working on my transmog. I'll get back to you later.
Yeah, my problem with those ones is it's not even that they just randomly show up. It's just that they're impossible to click on sometimes, depending on how you move when they show up. And so, like, it will take me several minutes to get the thing in position where I can click on it on screen without it being like, you're too far away, or, you know, you moved too far and it's no longer in, you know, clicking range or whatever the case is, which happens basically every single time. Of the three given, I'd rather have the one that pops up with, like, the pop-up window that, like, has, like, the full animation and, like, the voice that says, you know, the character goes, hey, by the way, you need to be coming to do this or whatever. Like, those are my favorite because I don't have to click on anything. It's just I can go yes or no. I like those. Those make me happy. Matt, do you have a preference?
Well, I was waiting to see if Liz had a preference. Liz said what she hated. She didn't say what she liked.
I do not have a preference as long as it's not that.
I have a special hate relationship with the exclamation point bearing NPC because I played a warrior and still do. And the ones from Odin, the Valkyr that he sends, keep talking to you. Like, if you don't click on them right away, they're like, champion, like, Odin has need of you. You must go to Odin. And like, seriously, they keep doing it. Like, for minutes, I will be running around Dalaran and the thing will be following me and yelling about Odin. I'm like, I'm trying to get my mail and you're in front of the mailbox. And I can't click on you, but I can't click on the mailbox because you're in front of it. So I have to run away from the mailbox and I run back to the mailbox. So yeah, so those guys can die in a million fires. I know they're already dead. But in terms of which one I prefer, I actually don't really like the pop-up quest window guy either, because especially I have a bad experience with Khadgar. Specifically, like, I remember Khadgar be like, champion, come to the mage hangout here in the center where we'll talk about next steps. I get there and he wouldn't do anything. I'd be like, why did you pop up and tell me to come here if now we're just going to sit here and you're going to stare at me? It turned out because I had another quest from him. Mm-hmm. Like, I already had the quest from him to go to Suramar, that he wouldn't complete the quest that sent me to him to get the quest to go to Suramar. But it kept popping up anyway. So it drove me mad trying to get Khadgar to stop popping up every time I went to Dalaran. And it wasn't until I realized I had to actually go to Suramar and talk to what's her name? Thalissera? Yeah, I had to go talk to Thalissera before that would stop happening. So for a long time, I was starting to get like a twitch every time Khadgar showed up. I already had a twitch every time Odin showed up, and it's the same voice actor. So it's like, I like that guy because he's Braytac from Stargate SG-1. I like Braytac. I don't want to start hating Braytac. Please, Blizzard, don't make me hate Braytac. Luckily, I do hate Odin still, but I don't hate Khadgar because that stopped and I was able to like Khadgar again. Because, you know, there is nothing in the world funnier to me than Khadgar going, and bring me his skull for a reason. That is the best line Khadgar ever got. It is hilarious and also really sinister. But yeah, I think I'm going to just go straight up with Quest via Mailbox. It's simple. It's to the point. I don't have to talk to anybody. I like not talking to people. It's like the texting of quests. And I like texting because I don't have to actually speak to anyone. So yeah, fair. I'm going to go with that. But I'm thinking, if you're talking about other methods of the quest finds you, what I like to see in game, one of the things that some games do, and I think WoW could do it a lot more. I think maybe WoW has done it sometimes. But one of the things I love is that there are certain quests in some games where if you do the quest unthinkingly, like if you mm-hmm. just go and kill an NPC that there's a quest to kill anyway, you just finish the quest. You get, boom, you have mm-hmm. killed so-and-so. Do that. If there's a quest NPC out there and I run into them and they attack me and I kill them, let me finish the quest. It's not my fault they attacked me first. You know, I don't want to have to, like, I remember one in particular in Loch Madon where you had to, like, get a quest to kill this guy who was, like, ambushing caravans down the road. Except he jumped me on my way to, you know, to Dunmoreau. So I killed him. I get to Dunmoreau and they give me the quest to go kill him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I just did. Look, I wasn't able to take his head off. I don't know why, but I did just kill him. Yeah, sure, go kill him again. He's dead. I killed him. But no, of course, since it's WoW, he was right back up attacking caravan. So I killed him again. I'd like it if you were doing a quest, you know, just by accident, if it just completed. That's something I think that should happen in WoW. I don't know what you guys think. Neither of you answered the other methods of the quest finds you thing. Do either of you have any ideas or even care?
I mean,
I have no.
Go ahead.
Go on, Joe. I was just going to say, I have no real opinion here. I mean, I'm pretty content just to get the quest as long as someone isn't following me around harassing me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with like whatever they want to do as long as it's easy to interact with and not some random NPC that like just continually follows you around that you can't click on. That is just the worst thing. Like, even
if I was amazed that they never put in an NPC who was just like, hey, listen over and over again until you just went mad, because that's what it felt like with the NPCs that followed you. It felt like the Legend of Zelda. Hey, listen, what's her name? Navi.
Navi.
Yeah. It felt like that to me. Like I was just like, Navi, if you don't go away, I'm not going to be responsible. It felt very much like that.
It's a meme for a reason.
All right. Next one. Then I guess you guys are pretty much done.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay, next one is from 6K, and we all know 6K only asks the most serious questions that require rigorous.
We'll see if this one is going to remove him from my healing list again. Continue.
When the old gods introduced the curse of flesh, how did it know to only go after sentient constructs of the Titans? Are there any cases where it went after any sentient object, like say like a singing sword or talking chair? I guess what I'm getting at is, how did the old gods not accidentally create Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Who says they didn't?
I don't think they accidentally created it. I think it was on purpose. But.
I mean, I...
Cherry, what are you doing, Cherry? The master must be served.
You sit on me.
Sorry, Liz.
I don't know if I see a problem with it. If they did, Cherry is great. And the only problem is, you know, what kind of hell does a sentient chair live in throughout its life? Are we just creating these sentient beings to live an eternity of torment as a chair, which different people are sitting on? And it's
the internal monologue is just, I have no mouth and I must scream.
Yes. Is that what we're doing? Have we created sentient chairs, but we don't know they're sentient chairs because they can't speak to us because they're still chairs and we're sitting on them? And oh, wow. That just,
I used to think that the worst furniture related speculation like this I had was my thing about Beauty and the Beast, where I get mad at the sorceress for, like, you know, cursing everybody in the castle for what one little spoiled jerk did. Like, you know, you've got like the teacup kid who was just a little kid. Yeah, Chip. Little kid minding his own business. He didn't know the prince. He was just, you know, being the son of the person who worked in the castle. He gets turned into a living teacup.
He made all his brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Hundreds of years of living as a teacup. And it's just like, but you've managed to make it worse. Because imagine if they couldn't sing, or at least they could sing, be our guest. Imagine if it was just Jerry Orbach screaming silently. Like, Bill walks in and it's just
such a dark episode.
And then she can't hear it. She just goes, oh, hey, a candelabra. I'll light the candle so I can see what's going on in here. My head, oh, God. Ah! You know?
So I am going to have so much editing to do with levels.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, thanks for that. Now I'm truly horrified. I'm terrified of the idea of the sapient sword that I'm jamming into people.
No,
like, it's
for all of you listeners at home, I want you to imagine, like, this question. This is tame by 6K standards. Liz and I raid with 6K, and there's at least like 8 or 9 of these that come out per raid night out of left field. I love you, 6K. Never change.
But yeah, I think that Liz has introduced the worst possible existence for anything. It's like, you know, not just I have no mouth, I must scream. It's like, I am a commode and I must, oh Lord, no.
Okay. I think we should move on and try to finish it on a happy note.
Okay, well. I mean, it's a happy note in a way, if you, you know. I mean, you're laughing, so there's probably some joy behind it. Last one is, again, from Azure Lane. This one was a week after the first one, so they had time to come up with one a little bit more serious. How much myrrh could a murloc lock if a murloc could lock myrrh? And they spelled myrrh correctly. If you know, frankincense myrrh, and, you know, gold frankincense myrrh, that myrrh spelled it correctly. Kudos, Azulin. 3.
Okay. Yeah. Why 3?
Because that's how many licks it took the owl to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop before it snapped and just bit it. So I always use 3 as my result.
The answer is clearly 700.
Hmm.
700.
Hmm.
I'm going with 3.
Liz, what do you think? I think I was gonna say, I think Liz's head exploded.
I'm trying to process everything that's happened here in the last 5 minutes, most of which was my own fault, and I'm just like, I'm hitting.
Yeah, process wall later. Here. It's fine.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do the Price is Right rules and go 2.
All right, then.
Respect. The game is the game. All right. Since we don't have any means to solve this, I guess we're going to have to leave it to you guys listening. If you want to write us or get to us on Patreon and on our Discord and tell us how many you think it is, we'll look at those responses and we'll collate up what wins.
Please come talk to us on Patreon. Yep. Oh man, Discord.
Wherever.
I love having people to talk to and distract me from doing any actual productive work. I love you guys. It's fun to have people to chat with. I think we've got a great community. So come hang out with us if you don't already. And if you do hang out with us, thanks.
Yeah, you're never going to get a drive by me going, this comic book was terrible, and then just leaving. If you don't show up, man, you won't know. You'll never know when I'm going to say something about a comic book. It could happen at any time.
Wait a minute. Is it a day that ends in Y? There's a good chance.
Dude, you loved my Spider-Man Rain complaint. Anyway, man, Spider-Man Rain.
We're overdue for a comic episode. Anyway.
Yeah. At this point, Joe, I think you're up.
All right, friends. Well, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Liz, again, for our sapient chairs unable to speak so that they're just constantly in a hellscape of being sat on by strangers.
I'm pretty sure there's a subreddit for that.
I'm never getting that out of my head. Again, Jerry Orbach unable to speak. Why would you put Jerry Orbach in your movie and not let him talk? For God's sake. But regardless, I someday the Law and Order thing will come out and we'll talk about
dun,
that.
Dun.
But thank you guys so much for being here. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, although maybe it's a little hard to tell from the end. Regardless, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have a question for us, or just want to tell us how much mirror a Murloc would lock, if you want to tell us that, you can go to our Discord, and we have the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel for patrons and the regular old Q and Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons. You can put your answer there. You can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the answer if you'd rather do that. Or I guess you could master telepathy and beam it into my head, but I think the other ways are easier. And quite frankly, my head's a dark and sticky place. I wouldn't go there if I were you. But thank you guys so much for being here. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week. And hopefully I'll be operating on a little bit more sleep.